Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, the Bible says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jakeh, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." And let's pray. Father, again, I do thank you for an opportunity to preach the word. I ask you now, Lord, to meet with us just for these few moments. I pray your Holy Spirit would have his will and his way in our hearts this evening. And I pray that you would bless our time together as we look upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This man, Agur, these are his words. He certainly knew that he didn't understand everything. And that's kind of like we are today. We don't understand everything. We don't know why God does what he does. We don't know why things are the way that they are. But we just allow God to be God. And we know that he's in control. He wanted to always remember that whatever he had, be it food or wisdom, he owed it all to God. I think that that was really what he was trying to say here, is that he didn't ever want to forget that whatever he had, it came from God. Sometimes we don't give a lot of thought to some of the negatives in our lives. This passage is kind of negative, kind of dark, kind of sounded like he was a little depressed when he wrote it. But we have to thank the Lord just as much for the good and just as much for the negatives in our life, because the negatives all have a purpose. He brings them into our lives for reasons that we may or may not understand until it's time for us to go to heaven, and then maybe we'll understand it all once we get there. Maybe just for a moment we can think about the negative things that work out a positive benefit. And the first thing I wanted to look at is learning from mistakes or failures. So it would be hard to praise the Lord for a failure. It would be hard to praise the Lord for a mistake. It's hard to praise the Lord when we mess up. But he has a purpose for that in our lives. It keeps us humble. We certainly understand that we're not perfect. We learn quickly our limitations. I certainly have learned my limitations. I am not mechanical. The Lord has taught me this well. And I have learned from my mistakes. I've had to call on people to help with plumbing. I've had to call on people to help with various other things around my house because I'm just not the mechanical guy. But that's okay. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks." But I think that this is the most interesting part of the statement. He says, "For this is the will of God." So these mistakes are the will of God. Now, our sin, certainly, if we wanted to call our sin a mistake, that wouldn't be in the will of God. But anything else, any other mistake, you know, sometimes in our spiritual life, we make mistakes. We make the wrong decision. We don't pray in God's will for something, and we move not according to God's will. It might not be considered a sin, but certainly can be considered a mistake. And we can learn from these mistakes and make sure that they don't happen again. So anytime something goes wrong, we can learn from those mistakes. Some of life's lessons are inevitably going to be painful. However, I often find that the harder the lesson, the more potential for growth it represents. being grateful for life's hard lessons, for the pain and the suffering, because it'll help us grow, is a really nice way to turn something bad into something good. Learning from our spiritual mistakes makes us a stronger Christian. There's certain things that I won't do because I know how they're going to turn out. I've learned my lesson. I've done them. You know, sometimes a word spoken in haste, you can never retract it. You can never get it back. Learning from that mistake helps us not to have those words come out first. Helps us to think about what we're going to say before we say it. Helps us to think, how is that going to come across when I do say it? And allows us to learn before we make that mistake again. Even some things that in themselves are not sinful, but keep us from being spiritual. We've made mistakes before, and we can learn from those mistakes. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And I kind of thought about that. You know, I always thought that that verse was about people who are not saved. You know, a person who you go to and you witness to and you witness to and you witness to, and they always turn you down. Well, they're hardening their neck, and they're going to wind up not getting saved. Maybe or maybe not. I've often thought of that verse as being somebody who's backslidden on God. You know, and you go to that person and you say, look, you really got to turn your life around. You really got to come back to God. Or else, your heart's going to get hardened. But what if that's not, you know, how that can also apply to our mistakes. When God tries to reprove us, when God tries to convict us, and we don't respond, and we don't learn from our mistakes. We've all heard that expression before. But we can learn from our mistakes by responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the opposite of failing is not succeeding. The opposite of failing is trying. Your daily efforts are what make it all possible. Appreciate what they teach you, even when they don't lead you to an ideal outcome. I was thinking of some men that made some mistakes. How many of you know a company named Traf Odata? Anybody ever heard of that company? Traf Odata. Well, the man that started that company also started a company called Microsoft. His first company didn't go so well, but he obviously learned from his mistake. I found this interesting. This man was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Who is that? That's Walt Disney. He got fired because he lacked imagination. All right, so there's men who took their failures and turned them into positives. The second thing I thought about was challenges and opportunities. Sometimes we don't thank God for the challenges in our lives. We thank God for the other end of the challenge. We thank God that it's over. We thank God that for what we've learned through the challenge. But we don't often thank God for the actual challenge. So maybe we should thank God for the challenge. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, again, a very familiar verse, it says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose." We may never know the good side. We may say to ourselves, I can't even imagine what good could have come from that, or how anything good can come from that. But God says that all things work together for good, whether we see it or not. Aren't you thankful that you live in a country where opportunities abound? Where anyone can be whatever they aspire to be. We're not limited in our country by we are limited by the government, I can't say that. We're not limited by... But in a communist country, they make a decision on whether or not you can go to college, whether or not you can go on to the next level, what you can do for an occupation, what you can be. We don't have that here. We can be whatever we want to be. We can be whatever God wants us to be. That would be even better. But we have those opportunities. We have that privilege in our country. I'm not much of a fan for a challenge when I'm in the moment. But in hindsight, opposition has done great things for the human family, for us in general. You know, some of the greatest inventions have come from hitting up against a challenge or seeing an opportunity, advancements in where we've come from and how fast we've come have been because of meeting those challenges. Challenges are what make life interesting. It'd be kind of boring if we never faced any kind of challenge whatsoever. Working to overcome them is what gives life meaning. Whereas failure and struggles keep you humble. Success and achievement keep you growing. Faith and determination keep you going. Celebrate your efforts, not just your outcomes. I kind of thought this was interesting. And you may look at this as failure, but I kind of looked at it more from the opportunity standpoint. For Edison, the tough piece was finding the right material for the filament. We often credit Edison with the invention of the light bulb, but he actually didn't invent the light bulb. There were, I think, 13 other light bulb inventors. But he came up with a different idea. He came up with the vacuum part of it. He came up with the filament part of it. And that's what I found interesting. That little wire inside the light bulb, he filled more than 40,000 pages with notes before he finally had a bulb that withstood a 40-hour test in his laboratory. In 1879, after testing more than 1,600 materials, that's perseverance and taking advantage of the opportunity and a challenge. The filaments included coconut fiber, fishing line, even hair from a friend's beard. I wonder if that would make a good filament. I don't know. Edison and his workers finally figured out what to use for the filament, carbonized bamboo. I had no idea. But think of the number of opportunities God brings into your life each day. Think of the number of opportunities that we have to be a witness to folks. The opportunities that we have for advancement and for growth, even within our own spiritual lives. I think of Ludwig von Beethoven. Some of the most beautiful music that he wrote came when he was deaf. And I can only assume that he could hear the music playing in his head. And that when he was doing it on the piano to write the notes down, that he knew what the sound was. I really have no idea, but I just find it so fascinating that he could overcome a challenge like that. And what beautiful music came from that. The next one is wisdom that comes with age. One man said, wisdom comes with age and sometimes it comes alone. You get that later. We dislike the idea of growing older, though. This is the expression we always say, I wish I knew then what I know now. But see, that's not what life is all about. Life is about learning those things. Life is about developing that wisdom. I know I didn't necessarily take the wisdom of my parents seriously when I was a teenager. I know that even as a young man, I was impetuous. I probably made decisions that weren't necessarily the best decisions. But all of those mistakes, all of those things have developed now wisdom in my older age. I'm not quite there yet, but I can say that I've developed wisdom. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength. Amen for that. And the beauty of old men is their gray head. I was thinking to myself, that can't be what that means. Seriously. A gray-headed guy, I mean, no offense to you guys with gray hair. But I really don't think that it meant, you know, that gray-haired men look great. I mean, that's what it says, but really what it was saying is about the wisdom and the knowledge that comes with gray hair. Even when our husbands give us gray hair. Job chapter 12 and verse 12 says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. Ancient, another term for the elderly, but he was speaking in terms of those who were ancient. Wisdom to know that life is short. Right? Time flies, Katie. Wisdom to know that life is but a vapor. You know, when we're young, we think we've got our life all ahead of us. And even sometimes I think to myself, you know, I could still have, you know, 30 or 40 more good years ahead of me. And I think to myself, that's a long time. But as time grows, the gap closes. And I think to myself, you know, it's really moving kind of fast. It really is a vapor. And when we get to eternity, it'll seem like it was just a moment of time. And we have to keep that in mind, especially appreciate the time that we have with our family and with our friends and cherishing those moments. Sometimes it moves so quickly, you know, the kids don't want to have time together without the TV on. They don't want to have family activities, you know, they don't want to do that. It may be something that they'll remember later, but they certainly don't appreciate when they're going through it. But those are the things that they'll appreciate most when they get older. Knowing that the young will be rash and impulsive in decision making. Something to keep in mind. You know, we often look at our young people and we can be critical of their rashness and their impulsiveness. But you know, we were the same way. And we had to go the same route. It doesn't matter what kind of wisdom I can impart to my son. My son's going to make the same stupid mistakes that I made. Because that's how God designed us to learn. And that's how God designed us. So we should be thankful for those things. And we should be thankful that wisdom comes with age. We should also be thankful for diversity. This is a bad word nowadays. I really hate the word. But we are a diverse group. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that we are different and that we're not all the same. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. In the spiritual sense, we all have different gifts, but each gift is necessary for the sake of the ministry. That's why we're not all the same. God gave us to the church for different purposes, for different reasons. If we were all the same, then, you know, where would we be? If everyone had the leadership ability, would we really have a leader? You know, if everyone was trying to lead. If no one was a leader and everyone would just follow, then where would we be? We'd be aimless. We'd be sheep without a shepherd, the Bible says. If everyone were, I don't know, let me read my notes. In a relational sense, we need the merciful and the caring. We need the humor and the sarcasm. When we take ourselves too seriously, a little sarcasm puts things into perspective. In marriages, sometimes those differences keep us in check. The penny pincher with the spendthrift, the warm with the cold, the heartfelt with the heartless. God knew this when he made woman to complete the man, the emotional with the pragmatic. See, God made us different. He even made us different when he made man and woman. He made us to be a complete package, a completer. That's what the Bible calls it. When he says meet, that's the completer. So we're not the same, because when we come together, we become one. We're made in the image of God, and I think we're made in the image of God when we are in that situation where there's that bond of togetherness. But we need both. We need the emotional person to break down the pragmatic person. We need the pragmatic person to calm the emotional person down. But all of those things are necessary in marriage just as much as it is in the church. We need those differences. We need that diversity. Can you imagine if our lives were made up with vanilla ice cream? And that was it? If there was only one choice of ice cream and it was vanilla. Exactly. So we should be thankful for the differences. The last thing is we should be thankful for the little things. A lot of folks talked about this. But I kind of, you know, thought about a bunch of different things that if it weren't for one, we wouldn't have the other. And we have to appreciate them both in order to appreciate the fact that they're there. I mean, would we really appreciate daylight if we had daylight all the time? We need the night to be able to appreciate the day. The Bible says that, you know, there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. If we didn't have them both, if we didn't have sorrow, would our joy be full? If we had joy all the time and never had sorrow, would it be the same? So we need those things. They're offsetting things. I like the night. I love the moon. I love a starry night. I can remember the first time I was driving down to Florida, and I think I stopped somewhere in Georgia, and it was pitch black outside, no lights at all, and there was a billion stars. I've never seen a billion stars, but there was a billion stars. And it was just the whole sky was lit up with these stars everywhere that I had never seen before. I wouldn't have appreciated that if we didn't have night. The Bible says, you know, that Paul, when he was on that ship, that he was wishing for the day because he was in the night. So sometimes that's a picture, too, of our grief and our sorrows and our trials. Because there is a day. Joy comes in the morning, the Bible says. So we have to appreciate night in order to appreciate day. Sorry, Aim, but we have to appreciate the seasons. It can't always be summer. But winter makes us appreciate summer. I love winter because of springtime. I love springtime. But you know what? If there wasn't that death, there wouldn't be that life. And it's always a picture to us too in our lives. There's death and there's life. We can appreciate when someone passes. We can appreciate a birth. Those things are all together and they contrast each other, but they complement one another. And we can appreciate those things. We can appreciate the seasons. We can appreciate a rainy day. I don't often appreciate the rain. I should be more thankful for the rain, especially, you know, because it does stop us from having droughts, which is a good thing. But sometimes, some rain, a good book, a warmed, cushioned couch, and a cup of hot chocolate. Nice rainy day. We can appreciate the rainy day. I love the smell after the rain. If we didn't have the rain, we wouldn't have the smell. Think about what it was like before when the dew just watered everything. They could never cuddle up on a nice warm couch and have a cup of hot cocoa. Could they? Because the dew was... Oh, no, I'm not going there. But the plants grow, and it makes us appreciate a sunny day. When the sky is clear, there's not a cloud, and how beautiful that is, it makes us appreciate those things. So this Thanksgiving and every day, we should give thanks. It's not about the fact that it was a week ago Thursday. It's about the fact that every day we should be thankful. And these are just some of the things that we should look at in our daily lives to be thankful for. It's not always about our family, and I am thankful for my family, I'm thankful for my friends, I'm thankful for my salvation, and, you know, sometimes we just kind of lump those all together so quickly and don't give them much thought either. But we can also be thankful for some of the negatives in our life when God shines the positive on those negatives. And let's pray. Father, again, I do thank you for an opportunity to preach your word. And Father, I don't know the condition of folks' hearts. Perhaps there was a challenge for someone here to think about what the Bible says about the things that we should appreciate in our lives. Father, I pray that if there is anyone here this evening that doesn't know you as Savior, that today would be the day that they come to know you and truly give thanks for their eternal salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us and help us and just bless this time of invitation. If there's anyone that wants to come forward, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to give you the opportunity.